This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Women's professional soccer might be on its way back to Boston. Earlier today, U.S. Soccer President Sunil Gulati announced the launch of a new women's professional soccer league. Eight cities, including Seattle, Portland, Oregon, Chicago, and Boston, will be included in the league.
And joining us, as he does on Wednesdays, to talk about the week in sports is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hey there, Bill.
How are you, Meghna?
I'm doing well. So the Boston Breakers left us, what was it, last year?
Well, the beginning of this year, yeah.
Beginning of this year, okay. So tell us what we know about this new soccer league and about Boston's new team.
Well, unfortunately, we don't know very much. They had a conference call, but they couldn't tell us the name of the league. They couldn't tell us which places, which specific venues any of the teams would be playing in. And, of course, we don't yet know who will be playing on any of these teams. The one encouraging thing is that the soccer federations of the U.S. and Canada and Mexico will all be combining to underwrite the expenses of the league by paying the salaries of the national team players from the respective nations who will be involved in this league. So that will cut expenses dramatically for the individual teams and individual team owners. But again, an awful lot still remains to be decided. The only thing they said vis-a-vis Boston was that the Breakers would not be playing at Harvard again, which is good news because that was a singularly unhomey place for a soccer team in a small crowd. But I don't know where they will be playing, and apparently neither does anybody else.
Now, Bill, this would be the third iteration of professional soccer in the U.S. for women. Is there reason to hope that this league will stick around?
Well, as I said, Anthony, the fact that it will be at least partially underwritten by the three federations probably gives us some reason to think that financially it'll be more stable. Beyond that, I don't know. I think the part of the reason the Canadians are involved is because they're hosting the next World Cup in a couple of years, and they would like a place for their players to play and perhaps get good enough so they can beat the U.S. next time instead of losing in the semifinals at the Olympics.
Ha! Well, let's move on to the NFL and tomorrow's big game. That would be the New England Patriots against the New York Jets in New York. And Bill, the Pats are coming off a huge win against the Indianapolis Colts, who they spanked 59-24. What do you expect tomorrow?
Very hard to know what to expect. The Jets have distinguished themselves by kind of squabbling amongst each other, some members of the team preferring to remain anonymous, saying Tim Tebow doesn't deserve to be on the team, and then the coach calling them out and calling them cowards, and of course we still don't know who they are. And then, of course, they managed to beat the Rams anyway in their last game. So I don't know at all what to expect as far as this goes, except, as you say, the Patriots seem to be hitting their stride, and Bill Belichick generally gets them to do that at this point in the season.
But they'll be hitting their stride without Rob Gronkowski. I mean, the star tight end, he was injured last week, broken arm, I understand. How serious is it?
Well, serious enough so that he won't play right away, and not serious enough, apparently, to keep him out for the whole season. That's the latest I've heard.
How does that work? You break your arm and you can come back and play NFL football? This amazes me.
Well, it's football. So the entire enterprise amazes me because it renders people delirious and demented by the middle of their lives, which is a bad thing as far as I'm concerned. But I suppose in that context, a broken arm is not much.
Well, let's move on to the Celtics and Rondo, the team's big playmaker. He's gone 34 straight games with 10 or more assists. Big deal. Where does it place him on the all-time assists list?
Well, it places him still 12 behind Magic Johnson, who was also pretty good at dishing out assists. But it gives Celtics fans something else to root for, and I think it's great. You know, it also helps to establish that that Rondo is a superb player, and let us hope that he continues to be so.
Okay, Bill, I'm looking at my script and it says you're on the list of Celtic assists?
Well, there's an asterisk. I did interview Bob Cousy some years ago when his book with Bill Reynolds came out, and Bob Cousy was kind enough, even though I didn't ask him to do this, to take the book away from me and scribble in it, "It was good talking to you, Bill. Thanks for the assist."
Hey.
So I have an assist.
That means a lot from Bill, from Bob Cousy.
Yeah, I didn't toss the book away into the pile of, you know, castaway books. So.
And one assist is still more than Meghna and I have combined.
Exactly.
So let's stick with basketball, but talk college basketball. And I understand you're featuring a piece this weekend on Only a Game about college basketball fans in Kentucky and how it's a bit of a national religion down there.
Well, it's interesting because this year Louisville, Indiana, and Kentucky are all among the top teams in the country, and they're very close geographically to each other. So we asked a reporter named Ann Marshall to kind of nose around down there and find out how people living in that area decided which team they should root for.
Well, Bill, looking forward to hearing that this weekend on Only a Game. Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs on WBUR Saturday mornings at 7 in the morning and 7 in the evening, and he talks with us every Wednesday. Thanks as always, Bill.
You're very welcome. Thank you.